Just want to say good morning to those that I haven't had a chance to say hello to this morning. We thank Almighty God that He has blessed us once again to come out to the place of worship, to sing praises unto Him, and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. We hope and pray this morning through the preaching of God's word that each one of us this morning that would learn something in the Bible that will help us to be better Christians in the future than we have been in the past. My heart is saddened this morning to hear the passing of Brother Owens. Just met him in November for the first time. And just listening to one of his tapes that he preached here in November, just last week, and now he's gone. So that teaches us this morning, brothers and sisters and friends, that God is still shining His grace upon us on this side of time. And we need to make sure that when our time comes, that our calling and our election is sure, because we don't know when that last day will be. This day could be the last day that we're here on this earth. We don't know. In the book of James, James said, "What is your life?" It says, just like a vapor, it appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. And so this morning, as we look at God's word this morning, we want to look at some passages of scriptures that will help us, Heavenly Father, in the help us on the way as we sing praises to God and to study His word. I've chosen this subject this morning is who opened the door and let the devil in. I chose this passage coming from the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 6 for the scripture reading. The Bible says, "Now this serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. And ye shall be as gods with a small g, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Before that we go any further into this lesson, we count this as a blessing as well as an opportunity to always go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So at this time, let us humble ourselves once again while the one has been petitioned to lead us in prayer. Also want to say to the visitors this morning that we are happy to have you here. I want you to know that you're always welcome into the house of the Lord. And also to let you know that you are honored guests this morning. There's something in the worship service that you have questions about, by all means, ask someone. We'd be happy to sit down and reason the Bible together. I have a passage of scripture that I'd just like to share with us. It's not in my lesson, this, but I would just like to share these passages of scripture with us this morning just to reiterate how good God is. In the book of St. John, chapter 4, in verse 23 and 24, I want us to notice these passages of scripture. The book of St. John, chapter 4, in verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." It says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we find people that love God and know how to worship God, we are in some good company. When we find those kind of people that know how to treat people. And the Bible tells us that we just can't worship God any way that we want to. The Bible says that we must worship God in spirit and in truth. So I just want to just to share that with us in this beginning of this study. My subject is, who opened the door and let the devil in? We know that when the devil came to Eve and quoted her those scriptures, that he came to her lying when he says that thou shouldst surely not die. The devil took one word and changed the whole context of that scripture. N-O-T. Thou shalt surely not die. And the Bible tells us that Adam was not deceived. It was Eve that was deceived. And the Bible doesn't tell us what Eve said to Adam. But knowing God's word, we know that someone should have been quoting some scriptures, because they knew God's word. Adam knew God's word. Eve knew God's word. But Eve opened the door when the devil told her that she should surely not die and let the devil in. And then she gave the fruit to her husband, who was not deceived. And he opened the door and let the devil in. And we know the results of that. Sin. Men fell from God. They died that day, not physically, but spiritually they died. They disobeyed God's word. And so if we as children of God this morning, if we are dealing with the devil in our home, wherever we may be, who opened the door and let the devil in? Because you see, the Bible tells us that, O devil, he is the author of the bait and switch. In other words, the way the devil works is he takes something good and he attaches it to something that is evil. And to accomplish his goal, he pulls away the good. And that's how he deceives people. He's a master of the bait and switch. You know, people really don't want to do good anyway. We don't want to do good. And you're looking at me like you don't believe that. The Bible says there is none good. No, not one. So that's the nature of man. Is that we really don't want to do good. But it's because of God's grace and his goodness that we are able to do good. I want us to notice in the book of St. John chapter 8 and verse 31, what these passages of Scripture teaches us. St. John chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32. Notice what John teaches. He says that, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, he said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Notice what it says in verse 32. It says that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, Jesus teaches us that this is the condition of continuing in his word. That's the condition. We must continue in God's word. And the promise is that when we continue in God's word, we become his disciples. That is the promise to Jesus, from Jesus to us. If we continue in his word, that is the condition. And the promise is that we become disciples indeed. And the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the only way that we will know the truth is we have to obey the truth. And the truth, the Bible says, will set us free from the yoke of Satan and also from fear. Before that, I knew the truth. I was afraid of death. But now, knowing the truth, knowing that the best is yet to come, I have no fear of death because the truth has been told by Jesus Christ is the best is yet to come. And brothers and sisters and friends, if we're not serving God faithfully, the devil is using us. And so we must be faithful unto God. Notice what the Apostle Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 16, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul teaches us something here. This is what he said about himself. The Apostle Paul says that, he said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. He said, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, he said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The Apostle Paul says that he has nothing to glory for because the necessity has been laid upon him. And because of the necessity, he has nothing to glory of. But he said, woe is unto me if I disobey. And it's the same for us. It's woe if we disobey God. He says that he must preach the gospel. It is laid upon him. I want us to look at something else in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. The book of 2 Peter chapter 2. And I start with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 in verse 1. Want us to notice how the devil comes into the church. The Bible teaches us that he comes through false teachers. Notice what it says here. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, and the people were Israel. During Israel time, the Bible says there were false prophets. He said, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So we've got in our day and times, there are false teachers, false preachers, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. And that word heresies is schism, division. Through their false teaching, they will bring that into the church. And the Bible says, denying the Lord that brought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And that's not all. Look at verse 2. and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And the Bible tells us, and this is really what got me when I first obeyed the gospel, when I read these passages of scripture in verse 3. It says, and through covetousness shall they with feign words make merchandise of you. False teachers use their followers for their own gain. I remember when I first obeyed the gospel, and I used to go to work. I had this little New Testament, this pocket testament that I put in my pocket. Some of you all probably remember that little old book, the New Testament Bible. You carry it around in your pocket. I used to carry that to work with me, and on my lunch break, I would study the Bible. I remember this preacher that was studying to be a pastor. And he was telling me that the reason that he wanted to preach is that he wanted to have a congregation of about 3,000 people and to get him a big house and drive a Cadillac. That's his reason for wanting to preach. And I had my little Bible with me in the New Testament. I said, well, don't you want to tell the people what to do to be saved? He was interested in that. He wanted this gain to have this big congregation. And I used to have him running and the lunch break. He got to the point where he would just dodge me, and I was just a babe in Christ. But I knew that plan of salvation, and that's what I was trying to share with him on how to be saved. But the Bible says these false teachers bring in these damnable heresies and denying the Lord that brought them and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And the Bible tells us that, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And we can see that in our day and time. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, we look at that in verse 20. The Bible says, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So the prophecy came not in old times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so the message that the prophets spoke, the people of God, it was not their own ideas. It was not their own thoughts. The message came from God. And when it came from God, that is what they preach. They didn't make up sermons on their own. They preached from God's word. And, you know, I've looked at some scriptures of old. Brothers preached back in the olden days, and I've looked at those scriptures, and I looked at the plan of salvation. It has not changed. From the time you look at the Apostle Paul preaching, Jesus Christ preaching, those scriptures have not changed. It's still the same of old time as it is today. So when the message changed, then who opened the door and let the devil in when that message changed? Somebody had to open the door and let him in. We want to know one thing about the devil, that he tells people things that they want to hear. And false teachers tell people things that make them feel good. And it sounds good. But if they took everything in that they preach, it still will not make them a Christian or a child of God, because they are preaching false doctrines. The Bible teaches us that when we find false teachers, they are not giving people what they need. False teachers today are still deceiving people. We look at this passage of scripture here in the book of Matthew. I want to read it, but I want just to tell us about it. Matthew 16 and verse 22. You remember, Peter had to get himself together. When Jesus told them that he was going to die and to be crucified and be raised the third day, The Bible says Peter pulls Jesus to the side. Said, Lord, this shall not be done unto thee. You know what Jesus told Peter? He said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. You see, that's the way that we have to fight, is with the word of God. When we see Jesus fighting Satan, every word that Jesus gave Satan was the word of God. I heard someone once say, if you want to see the devil run, shoot him in the back with a gospel gun. And this is the gun here, brothers and sisters and friends. We got to know how to fight with this Bible. We got to know God's word. If we don't, we're not going to win. Satan is old at this. All right, let us move on into this lesson. You know, when I was a child, I heard about Satan. And when I heard about him, it wasn't anything good. Especially when someone said, you know, I'm going to whip the devil out of you. Well, I knew that wasn't anything good about Satan. As a child, learning that he was no good. And Satan is not any good, brother and sister and friend. He's a liar. And he's a deceiver. But this morning, we just want to learn something about Satan. But I want us to just look at this passage of Scripture. And I'm quite sure we are all familiar with it. But I just want us to look at it closer this morning and see if we see something that we haven't seen before. Look at the book of Mark, chapter 12, and verse 28 and 29. Look at those passages of scriptures. Notice what the Bible says. It says, and one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he, which means Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? He said, which is the first? And the Bible says in verse 29, it says, Jesus answered him. He said, the first of all the commandment is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now, this is what I want us to really just pay close attention to. In verse 30, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. This is where we mess up as children of God. We have to love God with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. That's all we got. And when we do that, there's no room for loving anybody else more. We love our husband. But remember, we have to love God more. We love our wives. But remember, we have to love God more. We love our children. We have to love God more. We love our friends. But we got to love God more. Because you see, when we love God more, when someone brings us something to eat that we shouldn't have, like Eve did Adam, it's easy for us to open the door and let the devil in. Either when someone is weak and we're not strong, it's easy to open that door and let Satan in. But when we love God more, somebody knows God's word. And we can say, thus says the Lord, we should do this or we should do that. And we stay with God's word. We have to love God more to keep Satan out. I want us to look at something else. The Bible tells us that, you remember Samson? We all know the story of Samson. Samson dallied around with Delilah. And he played around with Delilah so much that he let his guard down. And Satan came in. And we know the story. That when Satan came in, Samson didn't even know that the Spirit of God had left him. And when they told him that the Philistines were coming, the Bible says that he got up to shake himself, as he always did, you know, exercise himself, you know, loosen up. He was ready for the fight. But he didn't have any strength because the Spirit of God had left him. The only way that you and I can be strong is in the Lord. And don't let anybody fool you. We cannot be strong without God. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 13, he said, "For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that is when we are strong, is in the Lord. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Submit yourselves unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee." We have to resist him. This thing about gone devil, that's not resisting. We have to resist him. Flee. And the Bible says, when we resist him, he will flee. But we see that Adam and Eve both opened the door and let the devil in. In the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, John tells us that he said, "Love not the world." If we want to know the reason sometimes that we see Christians fall and they leave the church, it is because that they have some love for the world. That is what pulling them away is the world. When we see Christian fall, you can rest assured that when we see a Christian pull away, that they love the world more than they do God. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, you remember when the devil came to Jesus to tempt him? You know, he said, "If thou be the Son of God," you know, he said that, "I'll give you all of these kingdoms if you just fall down and worship me." You remember when the devil was tempting Jesus? Do you know that the devil was talking to the one that had made everything? When he said, "I will give you all the kingdom of this world," he was talking to the one that had made everything. He's a deceiver. The devil will try to sell you your own stuff. That's how the devil is. He's a deceiver. But the Bible tells us that in the book of St. John chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 3, and we'll read these passages of scriptures. St. John chapter 1. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's Jesus Christ that had made everything. The devil's telling him that, "I will give you all these kingdoms." Let us move on. The devil is all of these. In the book of Matthew chapter 1, chapter 4 and verse 1, we want to look at who the devil is. And just ask ourselves, if this is someone that we want to invite into our home, as we see who the devil is. The Bible tells us that in the book of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, say he is called the tempter. In Revelation 12 and 10, he is called the accuser of the brethren. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, he is called your adversary. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he is called Belial. In the book of Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, he is called the deceiver of the world. That's who he is called. And if you don't believe that, ask Noah. in Noah's time, the devil had deceived the whole world. The Bible says that when God looked at man, man's mind was evil continually. And God gave them 120 years to repent. And because they refused to repent, he brought in the flood. And there was only 8 souls that were saved out of a nation of people. If we don't believe the devil can mess up our homes, you look what he can do to the whole world. He has messed the whole world up. The devil is the deceiver of the whole world. And let me come to the conclusion of this lesson. You know, a lot of time when we are raising our children, and sometimes our children think that we're too strict. They ask us a question sometimes, well, mom and dad, when you were young, what did you do? When mom and dad open the Bible, we find out that there are a lot of wrong things that mama and dad did. It's not about mama and dad. It's about what the Lord says, about what God teaches. That's what it's about. And I just want you to know, brothers and sisters and friends, sometimes Satan comes into our home. Sandra and I, we get to looking at each other funny and talking to each other funny. We know when Satan comes in. And we know how to get him out as a child of God. We have to ask for forgiveness of each other. Study our Bibles. And we get to laughing and talking with each other and hugging each other and walking and holding hands. Don't you know that Satan hates that? We're setting a good example for our children. But brothers, sisters, and friends, we have to be mindful this morning. And as we serve in God, we have to be watchful. Always remember that. The lesson is yours. And hopefully something was said from this lesson that will be helpful and instrumental in the stirring up of our pure minds that will cause us just to think while we journey through life. And the Bible teaches us this morning that in order for us to escape the yoke of the devil, we must be covered by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the Bible said this is how we do it. First of all, we have to hear God's word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We just can't hear anything. We have to hear God's word. And after hearing it, we must believe it. In the book of St. John chapter 20 and verse 29, the Bible says, truly many signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. That's not mentioned in this book. He said, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing have life through his name. So there's enough information in this book that will cause us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We must believe it. And after believing it, we must repent. Luke 13 and 3 shall tell your nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What the Bible is teaching is that once we hear God's word, once we believe it, we have to turn from the things that we have believed that are not true. We have to turn from that. We have to give up those ways and repent. And Luke tells us that he repeats it twice in Luke 13 and 3 and Luke 13 and 5. He said, except ye repent, except ye turn, ye shall all likewise perish. Then after that, we must make the good confession. The good confession is that I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a good confession. When Jesus made that confession, he was crucified. When we make it, we live. In the book of Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, said, thou shalt be saved. So with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But do you know you're still not saved? Why is that? Because you still have your sins on you. You've been converted, but you're not saved. And this is where the world messes a lot of people up, that false doctrine. They teach people that the only thing you have to do is receive God into your heart. The Bible doesn't teach that. There's nowhere in the Bible that you receive God into your heart. God tells us something. He said there are some conditions. He says that you must be buried in the watery grave of baptism to have your sins washed away. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, once the lone servant of God waited in the days of Noah, he said, therein few, 8 souls were saved by water. It says, baptism does also, the like figure of baptism does also now save us. And that's what we are saved, is when we enter into that water and contact the blood of Jesus Christ. And we don't see it. The Bible didn't say see it. He said do it. And that blood is there. Then once we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes, we can repent of that sin as a child of God. We can confess and ask for the prayers of our sisters and brothers that we might be reinstated to fellowship. While we stand this morning and sing the chosen selection, and we're subject to the gospel in any manner, we may make a good confession.